As a leader in property management, what advice would you give other aspiring property managers looking to, you know, climb the ranks and achieve similar success to you?
Know your building well, and then be able to work in a fast-paced environment, because property management, things change so quickly. And also, they need to have the ability to adapt to change quickly. Prioritize well, because again, there's so much going on at the same time. Just need to know what to do first and get it done.
Yeah.
I also think the people and the team, it's very important for everyone to support each other. Work as one cohesive team. So yeah. Let's say if we have leasing, we have service, and we have resident experience. For the residents, for the client, we need to be one team as opposed to three different teams. So I think it's very important for everyone to come together, learn a little bit about what every team is doing and how we can best support each other.
Hi, everybody. This is Jared Sarbit with Mastering Property Management. Today, I have the honor and privilege of having Vanessa Ambrose on. Vanessa Ambrose is the regional manager with One Properties in Calgary, Alberta. Super excited to have you on. Thanks so much for coming on, Vanessa.
Of course, my pleasure.
Great. Let's get right into it. Can you, go into what got you into property management in the first place? What are some of the major milestones along the way? And how did you reach your current level of success where you're at today with One Properties?
Sure. So I moved to Calgary in 2013. I was born and raised in India, and then I did my master's in Australia. I was there for about a year and a half. And then I got married, moved to Calgary, and I just finished my master's in Australia. So when I came here, started looking for a job, I wanted a job in the field that I'd done my master's in. But obviously, I ran into the classic catch-22 situation, where they're like, well, we can't give you a job because you don't have experience in this field. And I'm like, well, how am I supposed to get experience if you don't give me a job? So they suggested, going back to university, going through an internship program. But of course, that wasn't an option. That was in a whole different country. Mm-hmm. So a friend of ours that was working in property management at that time, he was an on-site property manager, and he told me there was an opening in his company for a resident property manager position. It worked out perfectly because the role was heavily focused on customer service, and I had some experience just from working part-time when I was a student. I applied for the job and I got it. And that's I started my first full-time job in Canada in residential property management.
Amazing.
Then my husband and I, we decided to buy a house. So I started looking into other off-site positions. So that's how I transitioned into a head office role. So I worked at reception for a little bit. I worked in customer service for about a year and a half and then moved to procurement. I did work in procurement for about over five years, actually. And then I had another friend reach out and he's like, we're looking for a regional manager. It's an operations role. Would you like to move back to operations? I'm like, sure. I'll never say no to an opportunity. I took a look at the job description and it was just the perfect next step in my career. And that's how I landed at One as the regional manager.
Wow.
Here at Calgary. Yeah.
Incredible.
I'm very grateful. I've worked for some amazing leaders over the course of all these years, and they've really pushed me to, seek new opportunities and, further my career, really. But I also have to give credit to a very strong support system in my personal life, too. Like, I've had amazing friends, a lot of them who work in the property management industry, leading to referrals and just support over the time. And of course, my family, they've always, been very encouraging, always there with their unwavering support.
So, wonderful.
Yeah, that's amazing. How I achieved the success that I have, and that's how I got here. And
Very cool.
Yeah, you asked about major milestones. So for me, one of the first major milestones was when I transitioned from an on-site to a corporate role. And then the other one would be getting my first leadership position. So when I got the procurement manager position, that was like a big, huge milestone for me. And then when I moved back to operations and, you know, accepted the regional manager role with One, that was another huge milestone for me. So,
no kidding. Yeah. Awesome. Those are great milestones.
Yeah.
So when you went from on-site to corporate, was that a big step for you? Like, was there a lot of challenges or did it feel pretty natural? Yeah, tell me a little about that.
Yeah, it was pretty great because it's a whole different world. Yeah. And honestly, I really appreciated having that background from being on site because a lot of the times I think that, you know, like when I would encounter certain situations, I was able to think, oh, okay, what would this be like at site and how did we get to this point of escalation where it's being, you know, escalated to a corporate role here. So having that perspective really helped me do my job a little bit better, I would say. So I don't think it was challenging. I think it was just very, very helpful.
That's amazing. Yeah, because it really does give you a lot of empathy and understanding and, for, you know, because you've been there, so you can truly
speak
how.
After working on site in an on-site PM role, I have a whole new level of respect for anyone who is in a customer-facing position.
Amazing. Yeah. I'm sure you can be a lot more compassionate now with your team.
100%.
Yeah. And give your insights and experiences and that sort of thing. So
yeah,
that's awesome. And talk about leadership a little bit because, you know, like knowledge is one thing and, you know, going through the experiences, but leadership is another level, you know, and you talked to getting to leadership is another milestone. Did you read books or like, how did you kind of shift your mentality to be more of a leader than just, you know, a manager?
So yes, for leadership, I didn't read any books or anything. I just went with my basic instinct. And like you said, I choose to lead and not manage people. So when I took up the procurement manager position, I chose to keep a small portfolio of my own as opposed to delegating everything to the team because I wanted the team to know that I wasn't there to just delegate and be like, here's the work, let's get it done. But it was more like, you know, here's the work, what can we do to get it done?
Yes.
I've always believed, you know, treat others like you would want to be treated. So anytime I had to tell someone something or delegate something to someone, I put myself in their position and just, you know, figured out how would I like to be approached about this. And also, you know, every person is so different. So kind of getting to know people on a personal level. And by that, I don't mean prying to their personal lives, but just get to know how do they like to be approached about things? How do they like to be talked to? Some people prefer an email over a phone call. Some people prefer you call them, sit with them, explain, walk them through it. So I think just understanding different people's personalities also really helped me.
That's awesome. You sound like a wonderful person to work with. That's for sure. So,
thank you.
Yeah, very, very nice. So you've kind of already told me a few of them, but, you know, can you go into some of the characteristic traits that, you know, you've mentioned some leadership traits, but what are some other traits that have kind of gotten you to this position? Like you said, you kind of, you know, you had your education, but then you came into a new industry that didn't exactly correlate with the education, but I'm sure the education played a role. But what are some of the traits that, you know, really encompass, you know, Vanessa Ambrose and how you have achieved the level of success that you have so far?
Yeah. So to our point, you know, where you said the education does play a bit of a role, that was a sticking point for me in the beginning, you know, because I was like, oh my gosh, like worked so hard to get that degree and I don't get to use it. But it's the discipline that goes into it, you know, to get a degree, there's a certain level of discipline that you stick to get there. And that kind of helped me in my career as well. For me, first and foremost, you know, being sincere, giving my absolute best is like, you know, one of the top things. It doesn't matter who I'm working for. It doesn't matter what the task is. I just have to give my 110%, you know, just give it my all. And the other thing, which I think is really important, is keeping things simple. Sometimes I feel that, you know, when you look at a task at one glance, you might think, oh, this is a big task. How am I going to get through it? But I think just break it down into little chunks. And keep it simple, you know, don't overcomplicate it. Divide and conquer is how I like to think of it. So yeah, that's what I would do. Like anytime I'm faced with a challenge, I'm like, okay, what's the first step we need to work on? You know, once you get that first step, it's like writing an essay. Once you get the starting paragraph, the rest just flows.
Amazing.
Yeah. I also believe that, you know, asking the right questions. Sometimes people will come and ask questions, but you can tell the difference between when someone's really asking a question and when they're asking a question just to make it look like they're involved.
Right.
So I think asking the right questions is very important. You know, you can show the person that you've done your research, you've really looked into it. And if you're coming to them with a question, you've put some thought and effort into it.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
I like that a lot. And I can tell just on our, you know, brief emails back and forth prior to this podcast that you are thorough that way. You put a lot, you're very thoughtful. You can see that very much. So I imagine you do put a lot of thought into your questions. That makes a lot of sense. So yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Very, very good. So prior to One Properties, you know, as you mentioned, you obtained your master's of business in enterprise resource planning, a certificate in supply chain management. You also received and many years of procurement, overseeing contracts and services. As someone with this background, how do you see these areas intersecting with property management, particularly in terms of, you know, optimizing operational efficiency and cost effectiveness?
So I think procurement of goods, services, contracts, this is a huge part of day-to-day operations in property management. It was actually one of the things that really motivated me to take up this position with One, because when I looked at the job description, even though I was working in procurement and then this was a completely different field, operations, a lot of the things that were on the list on the job description, I was already doing a lot then, you know. So I, like in my previous roles, I've worked with a large database of vendors. So, you know, I have some amazing industry contacts that I'm able to turn to whenever expertise is required. And with things like, you know, elevators and waste, and I heavily rely on these contracts because I work with them. So I know, I trust them. I trust their opinion. It even helps me with our clients. You know, if there's something out of the blue that comes up, I'm able to better explain it to the clients because I've got a little bit of background. Like I spent a lot of time in my role as a procurement manager, you know, really learning the back end of these things and asking all those questions, which usually maybe I wasn't supposed to ask, but I was just always curious.
Yeah.
You know, it is like this because it's supposed to be. Well, I want to know why. I want to understand it better. And so that really helps me, you know, bridge that gap of information today when I'm I'm dealing with my clients or with our teams. It just helps me better explain why a certain thing is happening or why there is a delay or why we can't or cannot do this. You know, I'm able to look at things from different viewpoints as well, from a buyer or a procurer's viewpoint, as well as from the viewpoint of a consumer as someone who is on site, you know, so kind of like a wholesome picture.
Yeah, so much value there. That's for sure. Yeah, very good. And by the way, can you go in, tell me a little bit about who One Properties is as well?
Yep.
I'd love to hear, go into detail about them.
Yeah, absolutely. One Properties is headquartered in Edmonton. We have about 48 million square feet of real estate that has been developed or is under development since 1987. And then we have 16.9 million square feet that is under management. We have offices, projects, and properties across Canada in Edmonton, Calgary. And one of our most notable developments is Ice District in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. We have over 140 employees, and our services span acquisition, development, asset management, property management, leasing. And yeah, we leverage our expertise across industrial, multifamily, retail, and mixed-use assets.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah, very nice. It's always nice to hear those Alberta stories, you know, out of Edmonton, and amazing. Beautiful business, that's for sure. You know, as a regional manager for One Properties, overseeing a team of property managers, what metrics or key performance indicators do you consider essential for measuring success of the property management operations? And how do you ensure these metrics are consistently met and exceeded, I should say?
So some of the key metrics that I like to look at, well, the one that tops my list is resident, tenant, and client satisfaction. I truly believe we are in business because of our residents, our tenants, and clients. So it's only fair that this is top priority, and you know, we make sure that we are monitoring that closely. And then being in property management, of course, you know, you have your occupancy and renewal rates. Emergency response times, we want to make sure people are not waiting too long. And I get it, you know, sometimes there are different, say, if it's a maintenance ticket, there's different tickets that get submitted. Of course, one is more important than the other, but you don't want the resident to feel that my request is a little less off priority to the management team, right? So
yes.
I think we just need to handle expectations well. So you know, I always tell the team that I understand we can't get everything done in one day, but let's say we have an emergency and we have something that may not be as urgent, just reach out to the tenant, reach out, explain to them that this is why I may not be able to get to you today itself. And I'm sure that'll go a long way.
Totally. Communication. It's gold.
Exactly. Yeah. It all comes down to that.
Yeah. And a lacking skill these days, I think, you know, it's very easy to be successful. At least I find is, you know, just being a great communicator can go so far because many people don't have that skill. So
true.
Yeah. Awesome. So kind of a little bit on that note, but yeah, balancing the cost effectiveness of property maintenance, you know, how do you and your team prioritize repairs and, you know, for the long-term value for both the owners and the tenants while, you know, being conscious of the costs?
We prioritize based on how important the repair itself is. So sometimes there's a choice to be made between a repair and a replacement. So we'll sit down, go through the pros and cons of each option. We also need to keep in mind what's best for our resident and also, you know, future-proofing the suite. In a nutshell, we would discuss longevity, system upgrades, you know, are we replacing like for like, or are we upgrading it with something better? Yeah, how is it going to impact the residents? Say if it's like a big project, like a Hearthgate project or something, what other arrangements are we going to have to make for them in the meanwhile while we're doing that project, right?
Yes.
So yeah, a lot goes into figuring out whether we want to upgrade it or we want to repair it. But just going through every little detail helps us ensure that we're still ensuring good value for our clients and the residents as well.
Makes a lot of sense. Is it possible? This is the first time I've ever thought of this as you were saying it. So if it makes no sense, you know, by all means, tell me. But is there any formula for that you're aware of that can kind of do that cost analysis? You know, like you said, like there's so many variables like longevity and, you know, the cost and, you know, the quality of what you're using in the trades and services. Is there a formula for that? Or do you have to kind of treat each one isolated?
Yes, unfortunately, there isn't a set formula. Believe me, I've asked the same question. When I first got into procurement, you know, repair or replacement, capitalize it or not, it was always a big point of debate, you know, and I'm like, I wish there was a set formula, which would make the decision-making process easier. But unfortunately, there isn't because there's just so many variable factors to
Totally.
Right? So you just need to treat each instance on a case-by-case basis.
It makes a lot of sense. At the end of the day, I think the residents can sway that too. They play a big role. And so you can't really put residents' opinions into a formula.
Exactly, no.
So that makes sense. But my wheels are turning. Like, maybe there's an app or something.
That would be so nice.
I don't know if it's possible.
Maybe someone will come up with it in the future.
Yeah, totally. Well, hopefully, if it comes from our discussion, maybe we'll get royalties from it. So
right.
So in a constantly evolving industry, what trends or changes do you foresee shaping the future of property management?
Continued integration of technology such as AI. I mean, that's the hot topic of discussion these days, right?
Yeah, and.
Like that, along with property management softwares, I just think it will help streamline operations and hopefully increase efficiency. Like especially in tasks such as communication, right? Like we use that chatbot for our leasing site, our website, just for prospects, so that whether we're there or not, at least they're getting some information back. May not be all the information they're looking for, but at least some basic information, wherein they're not just being left high and dry. Like someone wants an answer now, they're at least getting some information at that moment.
Amazing.
Another thing I really think that might be up and coming is smart building systems. Like that's being talked about a lot, you know, integration of all the systems and smart thermostats in residence suites, wherein they can control it from wherever they are, and that ties it into their smart entry system with the fobs and just a one-stop shop for everything. That's another thing that's being discussed a lot these days.
That's brilliant.
Brilliant.
I used to live in a condo way back when, and wow, that'd be such a game changer to have all that and just one system for the entire property, I imagine. But everyone's got their own. They can control it on their own device for their unit. And that's so cool.
That'd be cool. Even from a property management standpoint, right? Like it gives us a lot of, like, just to give you an example, say you have a building that's keyed, like, but you have a physical key for each door. And then you have a building where you have fobs. Say somebody loses a key, a master key. If it's a fob controlled access system, you just delete that one fob, or you know, but if it's a key, you have to rekey the whole building. That's very expensive.
Very expensive.
So,
yeah, no kidding. Yeah, it goes a long way. Just that's, well, I'm sure it's an expensive change to implement the fob system, but it is so worth it.
Exactly.
Yeah, amazing. Very cool. How do you leverage technology and software to streamline your property management processes and enhance your tenant experience? You kind of mentioned a little bit, but is there like the chatbot, and there's something that for you personally that you kind of implement throughout your day?
Yeah, we use, so like for the tenants, we have something called Rent Cafe. It's a tenant app, so they can pay their rent, set up their automatic payments, make amenity reservations. They get all their resident communication through that app. They can submit work orders, view their signed documents. There's also like a resident bulletin where residents can communicate, say, you know, I want to sell something, or I want to promote my business or something like that. Yeah, they can communicate through this bulletin. It's very cool.
Brilliant.
And some of the other ways we use technology, just from a property management side of things, we use Angus for just our preventative maintenance tasks, the daily, weekly, monthly tasks. Make sure we're on top of it, nothing's getting missed. And then, of course, Yardi, managing the old tenant database and generating all those reports. A couple other things that we have, you know, in terms of software. We have obviously fob controlled access. We don't have it at all our buildings, but we do use it at one of our buildings. We have third party AI monitoring. This is something very new.
Really?
We just installed it at one of our buildings, but we're very excited to see how it works, and you know, very excited to reap the benefits.
Can you tell me a little bit more? I don't know if you, like, it's because it sounds like it's so new. I don't know how much information you have on it, but can you tell me a little bit more about what that means?
Yeah. So essentially we have like a security monitoring system, just like you would have anywhere. You know, you have your cameras and then that's connected to a software and security personnel will view it from their computer. This one has like a third party company that's involved as well. So we have our security guys who monitor the cameras, but then we have a third party company that monitors as well, but they don't monitor all the cameras. They monitor select cameras, which we think are, you know, the highest crime points, or as you call them.
Yes.
But yeah, and then there's something called a top-down service. So there are speakers installed at certain cameras. So let's say a vagrant is trying to enter the park gate, you know, just trying to follow a car in, that gets activated because someone's actively monitoring that camera and they have a recorded message that will play wherein they'll ask them to go away. And it's pretty loud. So yeah, it just deters them. And
That's so interesting. So what's the AI component of that? Because you have, it sounds like there's actual people watching it on their end.
There's a trigger point too. So like if they they sense motion, that's when it will trigger for them and they'll start monitoring it. But obviously, you know, you do need human intelligence as well, because sometimes it could just be a resident who's, you know, taking a while to get their fob or key out. So in that case, you know, it's not a vagrant. So, and that's the reason we did go for the option where we had someone like an actual human monitoring as well, and not just a trigger point that just goes off every time someone lingered for more than 2 minutes, say.
Fascinating. That's really interesting stuff. Thanks for sharing that. I've never heard that before. So. Awesome. As a leader in property management, what advice would you give other aspiring property managers looking to, you know, climb the ranks and achieve similar success to you?
I'd say first and foremost, know your building well, and then be able to work in a fast-paced environment, because property management, things change so quickly. And also they need to have the ability to adapt to change quickly. Prioritize well, because again, there's so much going on at the same time. You just need to know what to do first and, you know, get it done. Have a flexible and open mindset. I also think, you know, the people and the team, it's very important for everyone to support each other and work as one cohesive team. So let's say if we have leasing, we have service, and we have resident experience. For the residents, for the client, we need to be one team as opposed to three different teams. So I think it's very important to for everyone to come together and kind of learn a little bit about what every team is doing and how we can best support each other.
Amazing. I love what you said. It's like, know your building, because it really, the property management is a business of a million details. Like there's so many things within one property that, no pun intended, that are, you know, involved. And so you need to really get so familiar with so many different aspects. And I've heard different perspectives. You know, some people say, like, you know, you can't be an expert in everything. So, you know, just be very good at understanding and surround yourself with experts. I've heard other people say, you know, become an expert in every topic, and there's different approaches, but
I definitely think you know, like, obviously you can't know everything, but know your building well to the best of your ability. So if you're a property manager, I don't expect the property manager to know all the details of how a boiler works, but that's where your service manager comes in, right? So definitely a combination of both. So, you know, be an expert where you can be one, and then rely on the experts to support you where they can be one.
Totally. Awesome. Can you share a particularly challenging moment in your career that you have faced, and how did you effectively resolve that?
This was back in my procurement days, actually. We had a big project to work on. For some reason, there was something on the vendor's end that kept, you know, the personnel we were dealing with, it kept changing. And so the project kept getting pushed back. Turns out we're approaching the end of the year, budget's going to roll over. We're not going to have money for that to do it the next year, because we anticipated to finish it this year.
Right.
Everybody's upset, you know, our internal team's upset, the vendor's upset, because, you know, nothing's happening. And I'm like, well, you know, you guys keep changing stuff on your end. There's not a lot we can do here. And then management is a little upset because we've got this budget that's not been utilized, that could have been utilized for something else. You know, so many different issues. And then I just sat out with the team. I'm like, look, this is a big project. We need to get it done. And I mean, we have to be realistic. We're approaching the end of the year. It's not like we can get the buildings done at that point. But we just kind of need to pick up from here and do the best we can. So, you know, we kind of just split it into different parts. You know, first, let's make sure the vendor can give us like a dedicated personnel. We're not going to keep talking to five different people and, you know, everyone is saying a different thing. We need to talk to one person and they help us with this. And the other thing that really helped us was just weekly calls to monitor the progress. I kind of felt like a lot of was getting lost in translation. So we would talk to someone, we would send an email, here's what we discussed, and then we're dealing with a completely new person. So there was lots of gaps there. So I was like, you know what, we're going to have weekly meetings, we're going to have them with the same person, and we want to make sure we're all on the same page. You know, and and then just internally, it was a lot easier because we just explained the situation to management. This is what's happening. This is what we're doing to resolve the issue. And they were okay with it. I always find that, you know, as long as you have a solution, it's okay. Just, I still like going to people with, this is a problem we have. I like to go with, this is a problem and here's what we're going to do to make it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And in the end, did the project, was it a success in the end and everything?
It was, yes. Yeah. We did get it all installed. It was delayed for sure, but we did get it installed and got it installed properly. Everything was managed well in the end, so...
Awesome. Very cool. As you likely know, I own a janitorial company. You know, assuming that janitorial is one of your largest costs, how do you look for janitorial companies, especially from a procurement background? I really am very curious on, you know, your thought process on this. And, you know, what qualities do you look for when you're looking for a janitorial company?
We treat it like we would treat any other contract. We would go out to market, get multiple quotes from various vendors. Since this is kind of like an on-site service, we get them to come and walk the building with us just so we can show them what exactly the building looks like and what we're expecting from them. I think it's very important to set realistic expectations, you know, like if there's a certain area that we're absolutely needing them to service, you know, we need to make that clear at the time we're discussing the bid, right?
Yes.
I find that the walkthrough really goes a long way because that's when they get to understand the magnitude of the work they're looking at. And some people will just be like, we don't have the capacity for this, or sure, we can do it. So, you know, when you ask what are the qualities we're looking for, high standards, you know, it is related to cleaning, to the building to look top notch at all times. We want them to have the same high standards that we have for our buildings. Of course, have a large enough team to be able to maintain the upkeep of the building, and then that they're open to implement feedback.
Yes.
And then quick response time is sometimes, you know, like I've said a few times now, a lot keeps changing in property management. Like we could get a last minute request, say for a building tour from an investor or something. So we want them to be able to accommodate that, you know, like, yes, sure, we can do our best to make the building look good for this tour. Yeah.
Amazing.
I think that's what we would look for.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I love that answer. That's very good. Finally, my last question, for a fun one, if you can manage any famous property in the world, which one would it be and why?
It would be the Buckingham Palace in the
UK. Oh, cool.
So I have a thing for old historical buildings. They intrigue me on a whole other level. So if I got to manage it, I would get to know more about the day-to-day administration and, you know, its extensive grounds. I think it'd be a unique opportunity to learn and experience something new. I also think it'd be very interesting to collaborate with all the different stakeholders.
No kidding. Yeah. Oh, that's a great answer. So, do you have a fascination of the royal family as well? Like, is that
not exactly the royal family? Yeah. But I like reading about, you know, old historical buildings and how people lived back in the day. I don't know if we would be able to survive in similar living conditions, especially because I, for one, rely on my phone to remember everything.
I find it
pretty fascinating.
Yeah, no kidding. That's very cool. Have you ever been there? Or I don't know if you can tour it now, or I don't know if
it's... I haven't. No, but it's definitely on my bucket list.
Yeah, awesome. Very cool. I love that answer. Really neat. Well, Vanessa, thank you so much for coming on. I know you're very busy and you got lots going on and at One Properties. So I really appreciate your time and I really value it. So thank you so much. And by the way, how can people reach out? Are you open to, you know, if there's aspiring property managers who are, you know, looking to achieve the success that you have or just want to, you know, learn from you? Is there any way they can reach out to you?
Yeah, for sure. They can reach out to me by email. My email address is vambrose, so just my first initial and last name, at oneproperties.com, or
perfect.
You can reach out via LinkedIn, whatever works for that.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much. And I wish
my
you
pleasure.
Continued success.
Thank you for having me on. I so appreciate it.
My pleasure as well. Thanks so much. All right.
Thank you. Bye.